Good morning. Today is Tuesday, September 13th, 2016. This is the 11 a.m. general discussion. And the topic on the agenda today is the rental of the fairground building. We have a school board present. We have HR and we have fairgrounds manager Peggy Anderson. So, rental of the fairgrounds building. Go ahead.
Well, as we get started on this, this came before me in January of this year of a THC fair that they would like to put on at the fairgrounds. We visited at that point, ran it through, JJ talked to Wally, and at that point we felt like that it really wasn't something that the county was possibly interested in going forward with. Since that time, it has come back around, and I've got a lot more information on it this time. This type of affair has been done at other fairgrounds in the state of Oregon. I've had personal conversation with Jackson County and with Benton County in the last 2 days, and Clackamas County has also done this exact event. The person that's proposing this, her name is Naomi Forcash, and the counties that I have talked to have had nothing but positive things to say about this type of an event. I had asked...
These events in these counties?
Yes.
She's done these
She's
events.
Done these
okay,
events.
So that's what you're saying.
She herself has
Not
done
you.
These.
Ben. Subject. Her is the proposal.
Her is the proposal for doing this, and she's the director of THC Fairs. And the one thing that I had asked is I wanted to be really sure about what the game plan was. I wanted to talk about security. I wanted to talk about how they were going to manage the event, and I wanted a proposal laid out in front of me. And in front of you, you will see a plan on the first page of exactly what her proposal was to Josephine County. As far as revenue for the fairgrounds, Benton County has rented their grounds for $1,150. Helen and Jackson County has rented it for $1,500 a day. So it is an income producing to the fairgrounds.
Why are you bringing it to us?
I'm bringing it to you because in the past, Wally was not comfortable moving forward with that because the county receives federal funding. And there would be live cannabis on the grounds during that time.
They'll not blooming.
Not blooming. And before any time before I rent something that possibly could be above the fold, I want to come to you and have this discussion so that you're aware of the possibly.
A policy decision, not a legal necessarily. State Fair has.
Correct.
Medford.
Yep.
Everybody's. Got this.
Yes, they have. But I just would like approval. I'm seeking approval from the three of you to move forward.
I agree.
I have some issues in regards to her proposal, though.
Okay. Well, and that's exactly why I'm here. And I have not rented the grounds to her. I have made no confirmation of this. I talked to JJ about this yesterday, and Wally is definitely aware of it.
Her request was in January?
Well, her first request. After Wally looked at it, we weren't comfortable in moving forward with it, so I tabled it. It has come back to me again this last week, and she's asking for us to look at her plan, and she would like us to reconsider from the county side of it. Legal was not comfortable with it in January.
I think I'm a little sensitive to decisions being made on behalf of a policy body by people who are not necessarily policy body people. Just because I got out of a meeting and it was said that Josephine County was in favor of something, and that was the first I'd heard of it. And I don't like that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't like decisions, nay or nay, being made. I really mm-hmm. appreciate you bringing this to us. But at a preliminary decision, I believe there's liability in making a decision of saying no to somebody who has potentially every legal right,
right.
to rent something.
Right. Right.
Not necessarily an ADA or a minority type of a deal. But there could be grounds for saying, why are you saying no to me? And
mm-hmm.
I'm a paying customer, and I'll overcome all of those liability issues of security. So that I want to look
Correct.
At it from that perspective, that it's really odd for us as being like what we say is the board's position on this issue is we're trying to do whatever we can to bring the economic value, vertical integration, that's the policy thing from this board so far, but refining this is great. I think we need to do that.
I can't say Wally's concern was as it relates to the Drug Free Workplace Act of 1988. So it says if you receive federal funds, you're not allowed to have, you have to maintain the Drug Free Workplace Act, and marijuana is classified as a Schedule 1 drug. And
I think that's a conversation that needs to be had, but nobody receives more federal funds than the state of Oregon.
Yeah.
And if they're subject to that on state ground, we are right there.
I sent an email back and forth, and that was kind of my stick. You know, the train's kind of left on this. I do think that it is a potential issue, but ultimately, 5-6 other counties have done it. The state of Oregon has done it.
Talk about it. What did they do to make it right or whatever? Yeah. You know, it's not just a blanket, yes, go. I just wanted to put that out there initially from what you were saying. I think it's important that if those kind of things come in, especially if the proposer came to any one of us and said, well, we didn't say no to that.
Right.
You know, that's a concern that I have. Or if you just say yes to it, we didn't say yes to that. So I really appreciate you bringing it.
Well, I haven't promised anything.
No.
There's nothing that says we're going to do this. But I really felt like I said, anything that could be above the fold that we're going to be, that we need to have, I'd like to have that conversation.
My next question is whether or not you've spoken directly to your liaison.
I have.
And do you guys have a proposal? If you like to just talk about it before you...
Because of this
nature
of this...
Yeah. It's not there yet.
Not there yet, the saying. I mean... Wally is basically going from January to like, what is this? To now saying, whatever you want to do.
It's happening.
Yeah.
It is happening. The bus is left. He's right.
Yeah, but still, it represents everybody on the same base on this.
Well, the state fair has
one. State fair has one. Commissioner Walker and I have attended, I'm not sure.
I attended one in Portland.
Yes,
it wasn't the same person.
But whose property was that on? That's public property, that convention center.
It was at the expo place in Portland.
Yeah, right?
So I don't know who owns it. I think it might be the city of Portland might own it.
I think that's public property.
Yeah.
Public property.
Anyway, those are the things that I wanted to
Well, they're the only ones that have the big facilities to do.
Yeah. Okay. And we're the only one that has the facility in this county that's big enough for this.
I have some questions about her letter. If this is a proposal she submitted to all these other people, I wonder, this maybe people think this is nitpicking, but I don't think it's nitpicking. She calls it the hemp and cannabis fair. But she uses the THC fair, which is apparently her company. But she makes some statements in here. In other words, this is a cannabis. Hemp is cannabis. So any place she uses cannabis in here, you need to remember she's included the hemp in that.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's tried to delineate it as marijuana. She has not done that at all. So, for instance, there's one...
saying marijuana is different.
It should be marijuana because in here she says no on-site cannabis will be permitted. Well, this is a doggone cannabis fair. You're going to have cannabis. So she hasn't written this very well. I don't know if she's not thought it through or what. And then she calls it the THC fair. So is she going to bill it as a THC fair, which is one component of cannabis, or is it going to be a hemp and cannabis fair?
Their business name is THC fair.
Right.
They have the heading of the hemp and cannabis fair.
Right. So this is going to be the hemp and cannabis fair. It seems like she's including the hemp as a separate component. But down here she says she has worked with the hemp and cannabis. She said she has worked with OLCC and OHA, but hemp is governed by the Department of Agriculture, not either one of those agencies, which, by the way, hemp isn't regulated at all.
That may be why she hasn't had to coordinate with anybody, because I think to overcome the element on public land, we can grow hemp.
Because hemp is basically not regulated.
So maybe she's just going for the regulated elements to say, don't worry about those things. I've got them covered. Maybe?
OHA, I don't know. But
well, I would assume that's the case.
Well, when I get down here with the samples, this is where I have some questions, real concerns, because I was just talking about the definitions. As she's kind of using those interchangeably, which they're really not. So down here, she talks about... And, well, in this first paragraph under on-site, it says, horticulture, personal care, and other non-cannabis-infused products have no sampling restrictions. True. Next one, we get into the any attendees, vendors, and speakers found to be consuming cannabis will be escorted off the property. Well, hemp is cannabis, so if they're consuming a hemp product, are they going to be... Because hemp is not psychoactive, so should that say...
I would think they would be escorted off the property because there is not a consumption fair.
It is to not be a consumption fair.
It is not a consumption, whether cannabis
well,
or...
Well, but the creams and things, that still could be concerned, could be conceived as
but
consuming, wouldn't it? I mean, or is it in your mouth?
Okay, but the question, sales of cannabis or infused products are strictly prohibited. You can give away, though, here, on-site samples must be cannabis-free. Mm. Well, if you're giving away samples of CBD, hemp products...
But she needs to use her word of marijuana.
She needs to use the word marijuana.
Because cannabis-infused includes hemp, which is totally legal. You can hand out samples of hemp.
You can hand them out here on the street corner if you want.
Well, I think it's the grower's market. They can sell hemp.
You can sell hemp products at the grower's market.
For sure.
Well, I think... Especially this board is more cognizant, I think, than most places in the state of that delineation of terminology.
Okay.
This needs to be cleaned up as far as language is. She's referring to this. She needs to refer to it as marijuana because there are no...
Completely through here.
Yes, because there are no restrictions on hemp. So if somebody is giving you a package with a hemp cookie in it that has CBDs, you know, the way this is written, you can't do that.
And that's not...
And consume it on the property. I mean, you could be serving hemp cookies in there, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Because they're not... They're
not, hemp's not regulated.
Yeah, they're not regulated.
You know, all of this could probably be worked out in a very quick conversation with Commissioner Walker.
Well, the other question... Let me get to the other question, though. Yeah. Is on-site samples and infused samples... Now, these are infused samples. So infused samples, which means it'll have THC in it, may be given away to the attendees at the home to be consumed at home. And they must be individually packaged. The city of Grants Pass does not allow any kind of trace. So I think that needs to be checked. Is giving it away in a public venue against the city's ordinance? Because they don't allow marijuana trade in the city. They've banned...
Yeah, I don't know the giving away is...
So that's what we need to find out. Before we say, oh, yeah, you can do this, and the city comes in and shuts them down and says, hey, you're giving away marijuana products in here. You know, they're in...
Giving it away.
Would be the question. Can that take place?
Yeah, when you get something...
You can't sell it.
Giving it away, that's
you can't sell it, but can you give it away?
And we're talking about marijuana.
Marijuana. Not the hemp. Because hemp, you can, I mean... There's no restrictions on the hemp.
I'm fine with this if you can get it worked out. It sounds as though, you know, there's a nexus of the city's regulations, which are probably very similar to Medford's or we're able to achieve that. Commissioner Walker is absolutely right. The distinction, the clarity of words in here are very, very important. She's absolutely right. They use the correct words because right now, well, I'm okay with if they wanted to restrict all of those kinds of things under the auspices of cannabis. They just couldn't do what I think they may want to do of having hemp distributed. But where they've got word right now, they can't do that. And it just needs to have clarity that there's an understanding that this board in this county is very cognizant of the difference between hemp, cannabis, and marijuana in those definitions. And so when she needs to use them the way she wants to use them, and if she uses them the way this is, we're going to interpret it that way. We know the law, we know the definitions, and that's really key for her to do that. But you need to feel comfortable with the kind of security elements of anybody else that the brewery thing, the beers and brews, whatever they do out there, the barbecue thing,
the knife and gun shows,
all that stuff. Yeah, you know how to regulate regulated types of industry expos. So this would fall into that category, I'm sure, and you are qualified as our fairgrounds manager to do that. From a policy standpoint, I'm fine with it as long as it conforms to state best practices, state law, because it's a gray area with the Fed right now, and that's understandable. And I think up until we have a new administration with a new Department of Justice, the Department of Justice, we're going to have to proceed under what we know. And what we know is that other counties are doing it, the state is doing it, and I don't want to miss out on the opportunity to expo what we're doing here.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's, I support. I'm with you. Okay. I agree. I think that we absolutely should, you know, allow this, but this is unclear in the language, the definitions, because I think she's speaking about trying to prevent the unlawful distribution of THC marijuana rather than hemp.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a hemp and cannabis fair, you don't want to put these, for instance, sales of cannabis or infused products as strictly prohibited. Well, what if you want to take orders for your hemp cookies, you know? So, or somebody has a hemp protein shake or whatever.
There's been a lot of refinement in the legislation, the 91 Implementation Task Force, in Legislation 3400. If this was drafted prior to those kinds of things back in January, this is a similar submittal, there's been a lot of refinement that seems to probably be
since then.
Yeah.
Well, this to me just speaks of PR fluffiness. Right? A lot of people use terms because it sounds nicer. Marijuana has a connotation to it that cannabis doesn't. And this board especially is not in favor of fluffiness. You're more in favor of accuracy. And that's why.
Well, it's important for us to be accurate, particularly since that venue is within the city limits.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to invite someone in here to see how have your show here, and then
right.
The city comes in and says
no.
Yeah. No. So you need to make sure that this portion of the infused samples, even though they're giving it away.
The venue is also open to multiple types of events at the same time. So you could have a birthday party in the building next door.
Okay.
And
very possible.
Cannabis infused, you know, edibles for free at another one. Is there a 21 hour restriction?
Yes.
So
there is on this one.
That's the kind of stuff that I'm interested mm-hmm. in, that you're not putting challenging types of events at the same time on the same campus where there could be a conflict.
And I think that one of the, and I don't know whether you may do this, when you have events that are restricted as far as age, for instance with this, no one under the age of 21, that needs to be prominently displayed so that if anybody gets to the wrong building with their mm-hmm. kids for the rabbit show.
For the rabbit show, right.
Yeah, they won't go in the building and discover they're in the wrong site, because I would hate to have that to happen as well.
They said their security will be checking IDs for fuel code.
Right, but if it's posted, nobody will go near it. I mean,
yep.
It's posted right.
Right
there. They won't, we're not supposed to go in here. It's another building. I don't mm-hmm. want them to get inside to where the security guy says, hey, you can't come in. Because I know the one we went to in Portland, there was absolutely no one outside. You went into the building and you walked up and you walked right into the line, and there was no one there until you got in the building.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, yeah. There were multiple events in that same
mm-hmm.
venue, and they all used, the two of them used the same foyer, the entry hall. So, yeah, you wouldn't do it. I mean, one was a tattoo or something.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been a dog one next door. That one wasn't obviously checked out. Yeah, very, very popular. So, you know, but at the door getting in, you couldn't get in if you didn't have everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've said that they will have security at the door. They'll have at least three officers during the day, and then at night they'll even have someone overnight mm-hmm. staying in the building to be sure that no one comes through or mm-hmm. somebody's left in the building.
This is in the big building.
In the big building, the pavilion.
Building. So, but anyway, we just need to have that clarification, and using the definitions that are technically correct.
And so then my next is I would need to talk to the city as well.
Yes, so ask the city about that. Say, you know, these people are talking about giving away THC-infused samples.
Not to be consumed on site.
Not to be consumed on site to take home. However, I saw people consuming in Portland.
Right.
But anyway, ask them if that is a violation of their city ordinance. It may just be the sale and not the free sample. Because if their ordinance just says the sale of
or the growing or production of, and not giving away. Because under state law, you can give marijuana to people of legal age. You can do that.
Okay.
But because they prohibit it here, it depends on what their ordinance is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get with the
city. I just don't want these people to come in and then the city comes in and says, hey, you can't give them.
Well, they very well could. You know, we've got, this kind of goes over as far as the hip-hop concert that we're going to have at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the city is very aware of that. We've had a lot of conversation on that. And they don't plan on being on site, but they're very aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have 14 security people there, and mm-hmm. concierge will be there. And then we will have out in the parking lots, which is an interesting mix to start with, is the Kiwanis could not do the parking control, so we're going to have the Oath Keepers do the parking control, which is kind of an interesting thought process through that whole thing. So, you know, they do a lot of things for the fairgrounds. They're on, they paint. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of upkeep on my fairgrounds, and they're there all the time. So I might as well make them partners versus not so much of a partner. So. Alrighty. I just needed I'll work on this, and then I'll go back then through Commissioner Heffden on this with you on this. And
I just want to read it for the language and just check with the city
check
and then
language.
Change the, and,
in language, check with city.
Yeah. Okay, so where they're talking about
cannabis. I think the city
cannabis infused, cannabis free. I think they're making marijuana.
Less specific about this application, but general regulations that they have. It's not your job to go check the city's regulations. It's the petitioner to use the venues.
Okay, right.
You just need to know the rules of the city, and then they need to go check off that everything is okay. Because if they rent it from you, and somehow there's something that the city says no, that they're doing, that
they're the ones that are
you,
responsible.
That's their job. You just need to know what the city's matrix this kind of stuff is.
Okay.
And then whoever comes to you, you'll say, well, no, you can't do that because this is a city rule.
But you need to go check with the city. Just like what we did with the MMA fight.
Right.
The cage fight. So.
I think that's pretty important.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that.
Appreciate your consideration.
Oh, yeah.
And if you the full packets there, the different conversations that's gone through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So this has been going on for a long time. But they came back and they wanted to know the... So I said I'd absolutely bring it to where it needed to go, and then we could go from there. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I'm like you guys. We don't need to be above the fold.
Okay,
thank you.
All right. Is there any other business that needs to come before the board at this time?
I'm sure that we talked about this, but I was just at the RDAC meeting, and Josephine County Airports was formally awarded the emergency power generators for the two airports.
Yes.
And a total award of $137,900.
Yes.
So that was a real positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small amount, actually, for RVAC. And then there's another grant application process that's been opened up. It's a federal thing. Larry's already working on it. So it's a smaller award. It would probably be used for IBM's airport if there was something out there. I was at the AOC conference yesterday in Salem, and there was some discussion about the very, very short discussion about the two different marijuana regulations of the state, either being under medical and recreational. It was alluded to the idea that it's likely to come out of the next session under one administration, one program, one policy body. So it would probably be regulated. Everything will be regulated under the recreational OLCC regulation, and the OHA will probably be folded into that, is what we're hearing. So that only one organization.
So the rumor that you heard, or the statements you heard, was that the OLCC would be running a medical program, or there would no longer be a medical
program? There would no longer be a medical program. It would all be under the OLCC program.
So what's the OLCC going to do? Because
I don't have any answers to those.
Yeah, I know you don't.
But
I'm posing a hypothetical here.
Yeah.
But I have talked to Julie about this because she contacted OLCC because there were three marijuana grows that were next to parks, of course, where children play, right? And she called, and they were not legal grows, to the OLCC and said, you need to shut these people down. And they said, that's your job. We don't do that. We only regulate them if they're licensed.
Right.
Which really, to me, I mean, if you want to go out here and set up a still and start brewing your own gin, they'd be on you in a heartbeat.
Right.
Because you're not licensed. So, no, that's up to you, they said. So how are we supposed to? I mean, this is an unfunded mandate, which is strictly prohibited, a huge mandate, because we can't follow up. I don't know about you, but I've heard from two different sources, totally unrelated, that the cartels, or what they're doing is the cartels aren't coming in and planting. They're coming in and going to the growers already there and saying, with their guns prominent, you will be giving us one-third of your crop or else. So they're not growing it. They're coming in and strong-arming some of these growers who are not legal, of course, but they're growing large grows. And so the problem is really becoming...
Well, this is on the front end of a whole unknown path.
Yeah.
I mean, if people think that the people that live outside the law are going to miss an opportunity to make so much easy money,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this
right.
is silly.
And because the growers are not operating within the law, who do they go to?
Right.
You know? So as the harvest begins over the next month or so, we may see some not nice things happen. I hope not, but I would not be shocked.
There was discussion in the governance committee on the recreational immunity. We talked about this. It's a huge loophole within the state out of a lawsuit that was filed against some recreational thing, basically where a judge said, that no, you are responsible for what could take place at a recreational opportunity. Like if somebody sprains their ankle at one of our parks, we could be sued. We used to have recreational immunity from stuff like that at the fairgrounds, at all of our parks. If we were negligent in something,
right,
sure.
Which means you have to keep things repaired.
Right, or we have to have a plan to do so, like our vegetation mitigation plan. We have to do our best to make sure that all of our facilities, and that took handled was one part of removing that playground equipment. It wasn't up to standard. It was substandard. It was given to us years ago, and so we took the step to remove it. There's legislation being proposed to close that loophole, to return prior to the lawsuit back to where we were. And that will solve the problem, but we need, we might work with Sarah of putting the letter together and championing that concept. It'll be either at the end of this year or the beginning of next, but that's something I'm following pretty closely. There is talk of the state parks and county parks and people, like, fine, if we're going to be potentially, sued, we're shutting them all down.
Sure.
That's the rock and the hard spot, and we don't want to do that. Nobody wants that done. I think it's a pretty... easy thing that the legislature's going to fix, but be that as it may, it's still an issue out there. Just trying to give you guys, there were so many things that were discussed, it's really hard to remember all the things that were pertinent.
So was a good day?
It was. There was some pretty lengthy discussion in the Public Lands Committee about championing a... So when you do an EIS, an environmental impact statement, or you follow the scope of NEPA, you have to do an environmental impact statement. So you do a full breadth of assessment of the environmental. Under NEPA, you're required to at least look into the socioeconomic impact of the people affected. These are usually very cursory reviews. They're not very deep. And the ONC board has always challenged them on these things. We did our own socioeconomic challenges to the resource management plan. There was a proposal that mirrored after what Wyoming has done, of state paying for those socioeconomic studies when a proposed federal plan is being done, and saying, here, feds, did you look at this? This is the balance of the impact of designating the wild and scenic on 97 miles of, or 60 miles of Rogue River, that they didn't do the socioeconomic impact statements on. it can cut both ways, because it, depending on who's paying for it, depending on who's, you know, in the room, who's proposing the plan, they can say, well, look at all the recreational impact that this is going to have as a benefit to the economy. They don't look at the other stuff that it's going to have an impact. So, long story short, we're going to refine the proposal and look at it again in October as to whether or not we submitted as a legislative concept that the state legislature would look at funding that when a federal plan starts RMP or whatever, a monument designation is being proposed, that you look at if the state would have a small amount of money to go have a study being done. So that took up a lot of the discussion. So still working on that. So,
okay.
I don't want to give too much of your time.
Anything else?
It was, to me, it sounded as if this was a good trip.
This was a good trip.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
All right.
I did not participate in the tour of the state penitentiary. I've taken tours of several county jails around the state, and I understand that there's going to be a report on that tour. I didn't need to. There's too many things going on that I couldn't leave. Bob Ovette, though, is going to be the guy we need to be in touch with this next fall, and legislative concepts that are going to. The deadline for those legislative concepts for a placeholder that you should be aware of, I think, is September 26th. So if you had something that you wanted, you know, Congress, Representative Wilson or Stark or Senator Berkshire.
Well, I've given the ideas that I've had to Wilson.
Put them in through them, and they just need to put a cue. It doesn't need to be really fleshed out. It can be even just a couple of sentences.
Right. I sent an email to Mike MacArthur in regards to the NACO committee that I was put on.
Okay, yeah.
And asked him, you know, if he might want to
reassign that. Or
yeah, if there was something he wanted. I've heard nothing back. I did that last week.
He might still be working on that.
But I haven't heard from him. So.
Well, I'd also say that it's probably not a high priority committee or a question for him to wrestle with either.
Okay.
Well, I would think the Agriculture and Natural Resource Committee at the national level of NACO might be.
We might be pretty well staffed in that. I know we've got three or four people on there, and that could have been one of the challenges for having to get you on there, is that there could have been, it could have been fully staffed from Oregon already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably seeking an appointment to the Western Interstate Region Board. It's a 15-state subcommittee of NACO, and Commissioner Bridenthal was representative of Oregon before that, and so he's currently the president up until December, the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
They're hosting their fall conference meeting over in Ashland, and at the end of October, I'll be attending that, and Oregon. The president of AOC makes a recommendation to have that appointment. We have two slots available. We usually only appoint one. AOC pays for those kinds of things. It isn't. We'll be doing no fundraising, no outside accounting. It'll all be done through AOC.
As a Doug said, too.
No, he actually, that's his challenge. He raised money to run for an election, and it did not go through ORSTAR. Those contributions were made directly to AOC, put in an AOC account. I will be having nothing to do with those kinds of stuff. All of my contributions will always go through ORSTAR. I won't be seeking any for this. I won't be running for any president. The thing is there was nobody running against him. So he was using this money in a way that was not fleshed out. There wasn't a capacity in Oregon, other than ORSTAR, to handle those on a public transparency element. So he was receiving contributions. I know there were several thousand, maybe $8,000-$10,000 that went through this account that never saw the public light of day, of saying, well, you were making decisions that were, was not good.
Hindsight is 2020.
Yeah. I won't be having anything to do with those kinds of things. So.
No. We've already had our indoctrination.
Yeah, we're all schooled up.
Our slates are clean at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
Always have been.
Okay.
We're still working out the leadership positions for ONC, and I'm not sure about that. I'm vice president. I will be on the executive committee, but whether or not it's in a capacity of vice president or president of the association, because Tony Hyde, the current president, was not reelected. I know Tim Freeman from Douglas County expressed interest in that position, and I'm not totally opposed to that idea. It sounds like a leadership role. Sometimes you just may want to delegate to somebody else. But at the same time, I have a little bit more experience in the ONC arena than most anybody on that board, even though I'm this junior. Nobody else was on the governor's ONC task force. I've been on the executive committee, I think, for at least 3 years. I might be the youngest member of the board, but I'm also one of the most experienced. So kind of scary to think about. But I'm not sure what I want to do yet, but we'll be working that out. The December meeting is the annual meeting where we do the elections.
Okay. All righty. I'm meeting Thursday.
Yes. You step back.
I'm leaving Thursday.
Are you coming back? That's the operating.
Yeah, I will be back. I'm gone the 16th to October 1st, and I'll be back.
Oh, okay.
And so you will be chairing.
Mm-hmm. If I'm here.
There's no one going to be two of you, so you got to be here.
You're here or not, you are.
You have to be here. So,
okay.
All right. So then we'll be coming into the end of the year stuff that happens. So, yeah. So anybody planning any? I will be gone Thanksgiving week because my grandson graduates from basic, so be down for that.
I have AOC's annual conference and then ONC's annual conference, and then after that, I may be.
If you can get us the date
somewhere,
then we can.
Yeah, I haven't made my reservation yet, but I mean, my son made our hotel reservations already on base at the hotel on base, but I haven't made my air reservations yet, so I've got to do that. But and then I'll give you the date. So I just want everybody to get their stuff lined up so we're not ending up not having anybody here.
Well, we usually struggle with a quorum between
the first part of November through the end of the year. We did last year. I think every year I've been here, it's a struggle after the first of November. So because of all the conferences and...
We're already struggling. Next week we don't have a quorum on Thursday.
We don't have a quorum next Thursday?
No, we'll have to probably move.
Didn't we move the admin meeting? Because I'm...
That's tomorrow.
Oh.
I mean, this Thursday, but next Thursday, we'll probably have to move it to Wednesday afternoon.
You guys have a quorum for the weekly business session, and then we move the admin meeting to 1:30. I don't need to attend the MRMPO.
So tomorrow the admin meeting is early afternoon, and then the...
Yeah, and I got pulled into that DLCD meeting. They changed the agenda around next Thursday from us being at 10:30 to being first on the agenda right after public comment, which I'm sure there's probably not very much public comment. So we're right on at 9:15, 9:30, depending on how much public comment for the pilot project report and recommendation to DLCD. And then from there, I go to Lincoln City for the ONC meeting. Starts with the dinner Thursday night, meeting Friday. Then I come back Friday evening. I hope it doesn't last too long. And then it seems like there's something October 10th. There's a conflict on October 10th because I...
October 10th, isn't that
the hearing?
That's the hearing.
That's AOC's meeting in Salem. I'm co-chair. I'm back from my sabbatical of public land. It's my turn to chair.
Get someone else.
Well, that's why there's two of us. So.
Yeah.
So you won't be attending the land use?
No.
He'll be at the land use. He'll get someone else since he's co-chair. Yeah. You can switch off on those.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's that A. And it seems to me on the 12th is when I have the... There's a weekly business morning session that day, but I'm not sure.
I thought we... Schedule it. I thought the 10th was Columbus Day, and that's a holiday. But it's not holiday.
No, Columbus Day is usually the 12th. Columbus Day is the 12th.
No, Columbus Day is the 10th.
We don't have.
Well, the federal holiday is the 10th, but the actual Columbus Day is the 12th.
Okay.
That's just like federal holidays. They put it on the closest Monday usually. But we went ahead and scheduled that day because everybody agreed to it.
For the 10th. That's not a holiday for us.
No, it's not a holiday for us.
We don't have a holiday until Veterans Day. Mm-hmm.
You've got our land use remand hearing for Sunday Valley on Monday.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so we're all here the 10th for the hearing.
Can't reschedule that?
No.
Hey, yeah.
We're not rescheduling that. And then,
Andrew Bowles' project is Monday night.
Mm-hmm. And all I can say is for our staff, I think the sooner we can get all of our plans about through from now to the end of the year, which is just 3 months basically, mm-hmm. get them into them so that when people are asking about meetings, they can schedule. I'll get mine to you as soon as I have those other reservations.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Sorry we had to spend 15 minutes on scheduling here.
Well, honestly, the board used to talk about it every week.
Well, yeah, because, well, and it's more critical now that we're getting towards the end of the year because with the staff, they need to know because people are going to be trying to schedule.
Yeah, we used to review the schedule of the board every week and then go over minutes and other things.
Go over minutes, did you say?
We used to go over minutes. We used to review the minutes thoroughly. Somebody does that now and we don't have to waste time. I really appreciate that.
Briefly. Okay, anything else?
Nope.
Okay, it is 11:43 and we are adjourned.